The Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Katra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I am genuinely excited about today's topic. We're tackling one of the biggest stories there is, the origin story of us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not just history books. We're diving into the actual science, specifically through the work of, well, a giant in the field, Bernard Wood.
And it's about time we did, really, because the popular idea of human evolution, it's been stuck for ages on that that simplistic cartoon.
Oh, yeah, The March of Progress, that one.
Exactly. The ape slowly standing up straighter, becoming human. It's just wrong.
Completely. So our mission today, really, is to follow Wood's thinking. He doesn't just critique that image. He throws it out entirely.
Right.
We're swapping the ladder for the messy, complex, but scientifically solid truth. The bushy tree of human evolution.
It's honestly the only way to make sense of things now. I mean, the last couple of decades, with ancient DNA, better fossil dating, it's completely changed the picture of the last, 7 million years of our family history. It's complicated.
So Wood synthesis is kind of like our guide through this new landscape.
Precisely. It's essential reading, really.
Okay, so let's talk about the guide himself, Bernard Wood.
Hmm?
What makes his perspective so... so unique? Why him?
Well, he's definitely a major figure, university professor of human origins at George Washington University. But what's really key is his background. He's not just a paleoanthropologist. He trained as a physician first, an anatomist.
Ah, okay. So he looks at these old bones with a doctor's eye, like how they actually worked.
Exactly that. Not just shapes, but functional systems. How did this joint move? How much force could that jaw take? It's a much more holistic view.
Gives him a different kind of insight.
Definitely.
Into behavior capabilities.
And there's this thing about him being a splitter. What's that about? And how does it connect to the bushy tree idea? Right. The splitter versus lumper debate. It's kind of fundamental in paleoanthropology. Lumpers tend to group fossils together, you know, emphasize the similarities, fewer species.
Okay.
Splitters, like Wood, they look at the variations, the differences, and they're more likely to say, hang on, this looks like a distinct species, a separate evolutionary path.
So if you're always seeing reasons for new species based on variations,
then your tree naturally gets much bushier. More branches, more complexity.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It forces you to confront how much we don't know, too, right?
Yeah.
Because the fossil record isn't complete.
Exactly. He's very upfront about the uncertainties, the gaps in the puzzle. And that honesty actually makes his bushy tree model more convincing because it acknowledges the messiness of the real data.
Okay, let's get into that main argument then. If it's not a ladder, what is the core idea Wood wants us to grasp?
It's a total rejection of that straight line, the key message. Human evolution was complex. It was branching. Think multiple species existing at the same time. Lots of evolutionary experiments that just end dead ends, intricate relationships.
So not a clear path towards us.
Not at all. It was contingent, messy. Our survival wasn't guaranteed.
That bushy tree image really captures it. Like, for ages, there wasn't just one type of early human out there.
No, you had different hominin species, sometimes living in the same areas, dealing with the same challenges, maybe for hundreds of thousands of years.
Wow.
And Wood stresses, you know, you need everything to understand this. Fossils, genetics, archaeology, anatomy. It's this huge detective story over millions of years. And the constant reminder is, we're just one twig left. Our existence wasn't inevitable.
Contingency. That feels like the key word. Okay, let's walk through the timeline a bit. We usually think human means big brains, tools. But Wood points out something really surprising about what came first.
Yeah, this is often the biggest shock for people. The first major innovation wasn't the brain. It was bipedalism, walking upright on two legs. And it happened millions of years before brains got significantly bigger or tools got complex.
Wait, millions? So walking upright came first while our ancestors still had ape-sized brains. That feels backwards.
Yeah, it does, right. But that's mosaic evolution. Different traits evolve at different times, different speeds. They don't come as a package deal.
Okay. And the evidence for that is?
Pretty clear, actually. You look at things like the foramen magnum. That's the hole where the spine connects to the skull. In really early fossils, like Sahelanthropus, maybe 6 or 7 million years old, its position suggests the head was balanced on top of the spine. For upright posture.
Not jutting forward like an ape's.
Okay. Right. And then fast forward to Lucy, Australopithecus afarensis, 3.2 million years ago. Her skeleton is amazing. Telvis, legs built for walking upright, but the skull, still housing a small ape-sized brain.
So upright walking was established freeing up the hands, maybe for carrying things, simple tools.
Exactly. It set the stage, even if those early tools were just, you know, rocks used opportunistically.
Okay, so bipedalism is established. Yeah. Then things get really bushy.
Mm.
What happens next, say, between 4 and 1.5 million years ago?
Oh, it's an explosion of diversity. Wood talks about two main groups of these australopiths. You've got the gracile ones, like Lucy's species, and then the robust ones, the Paranthropus genus.
Robust. Okay, tell me about them. They sound like evolutionary dead ends.
They really were fascinating ones, though. Think of Paranthropus poesae, sometimes called Nutcracker Man.
Nutcracker Man. Why?
Because around 2 million years ago, living alongside our early Homo ancestors in East Africa, these guys went all in on chewing. Huge molar teeth, massive jaws, powerful muscles. They even had this bony ridge on top of their skulls, a sagittal crest, to anchor those giant chewing muscles.
Oh, so they were specialized for...
Right.
What? Tough plants.
Exactly. Tough, fibrous, gritty vegetation, specialized vegetarians. They didn't invest in bigger brains or fancy tools. They invested in dental hardware.
So while our ancestors, early Homo, were becoming more generalist, omnivorous, using tools maybe to process food,
Paranthropus doubled down on biological specialization. Huge chewing power. Magnificent in a way, but ecologically fragile.
Because if your specific food source disappears,
you're stuck. And that seems to be what happened. Climate shifts changed the vegetation, and the robust guys couldn't adapt. They went extinct.
While our lineage, being more flexible, using tools and maybe a broader diet,
managed to survive. That adaptability, that's key. It really shows how survival is contingent, depending on the circumstances. The bushy tree illustrates that perfectly.
Right. Which brings us to the next big player, Homo erectus. Around 1.9 million years ago, these guys were different. They lasted ages.
Nearly 2 million years. Their success is incredible. And H. erectus is really the first hominin that looks, well, much more like us in body plan. Long legs, shorter arms, narrow hips. Built for walking and even running long distances. Probably better thermoregulation, too. Built for travel.
And travel they did. This is when the story goes global, right?
Yep.
The first hominins to successfully leave Africa. Out of Africa one.
Precisely.
Right.
And they didn't just have simple tools. They developed the Acheulean toolkit. Most famously, that teardrop-shaped hand axe. Symmetrical, worked on both sides. A much more complex tool than anything before. Good for butchering, woodworking, lots of things.
A multi-tool, basically. Used across continents.
Yeah, just a real cognitive leap. Planning, skill.
But even then, the story stays complex. Because Homo erectus wasn't alone out there. And later, neither were we. We shared the planet for a long time.
That's maybe one of the most profound shifts in understanding our own story recently. We were not the only humans until, geologically speaking, very recently. Wood really emphasizes this period of coexistence with other archaic humans, Neanderthals in Europe, in Asia, obviously, and the Denisovans, who we know about mainly from ancient DNA found in Siberia.
And forget the old stupid caveman idea for Neanderthals, right? The evidence now shows...
completely overturned. Neanderthals were highly successful, intelligent, adapted brilliantly to Ice Age Europe. Big brains, sophisticated tools of the Mousterian industry. They controlled fire, buried their dead, maybe even had symbolic thought. They weren't primitive precursors, they were contemporaries, cousins.
And the bombshell from genetics. We interbred.
Absolutely. We didn't just outcompete them, or maybe we did eventually, but the story involves interbreeding. If you have non-African ancestry, you carry small percentages of Neanderthal DNA. Some populations also have Denisovan DNA.
So our own lineage isn't pure Homo sapiens. It includes bits from these other successful human branches.
Exactly. Our history is mixed. It just reinforces that complexity is the rule, not the exception.
Okay, so let's try and distill this. If you had to pick, say, the three or four absolute core messages from Wood's work, the big takeaways, what would they be?
Number one, absolutely. The branching, nonlinear tree. You have to ditch the ladder image forever. Multiple hominin species coexisting was the norm. Think about 1.8 million years ago. Paranthropus, Homo habilis, Homo erectus, all possibly in the same landscapes, were just the last twig standing.
Right, got it. Number two.
Mosaic evolution. This explains how things changed. Human traits didn't all arrive together in a neat package. A bipedalism way early, then maybe tool use and culture becoming more important than the big brain expansion. Different things evolved at different rates.
Okay, not a coordinated upgrade.
Not at all. Then theme three, the primacy of Africa. Even though hominins like erectus spread across the globe and Neanderthals thrived elsewhere, Africa remained the engine room. The source of the major innovations, the major migrations, including the one that led to us, Homo sapiens.
And the last one, maybe the most philosophical.
Contingency, not purpose. This is huge. Our being here wasn't the goal of evolution. It wasn't inevitable. It was a result of chance events, environmental changes, adaptations that happened to work out when others didn't. Lucky breaks.
That really promotes a kind of humility, doesn't it?
Exactly the kind of scientific humility Wood champions.
You mentioned Wood is good at framing these complex ideas. Any particularly memorable ways he puts it, like ways to grasp the uncertainty?
Oh, yeah. He's very quotable on the limits of the evidence. He uses this great analogy. He said something like, "The human fossil record is like a vast jigsaw puzzle with most of the pieces missing, and we're not even sure what the final picture should look like."
Huh. That perfectly explains why the headlines about new fossils seem to change the story every few months.
Right. It's not about confirming a known picture. It's about finding surprising new pieces.
Okay. What about the no purpose idea?
He puts it starkly, we are not the goal of evolution, but rather one outcome of it. Remarkable, but not inevitable.
Hits home. We're special, but not the point.
Mm-hmm. But then, despite all that branching and contingency, he also brings it back to our shared roots. Something like, every human alive today shares ancestors who lived in Africa less than 200,000 years ago, making us all part of one extended African family.
That pulls it all together in a powerful way. From bushy tree to shared ancestry.
So thinking about how this applies now, how does Wood's perspective help us, you know, in everyday life?
Well, I was thinking about critical thinking. If the fossil record is so incomplete, like that jigsaw puzzle, how can we trust the story at all? Doesn't the uncertainty undermine it?
It's actually the opposite. And that's a key lesson from Wood. His honesty about the limits, the uncertainty. That's good science. It gives you a framework for judging any scientific claim. When you see some clickbait headline saying, new fossil disproves evolution, Wood's approach teaches you to ask, okay, is this source acknowledging the complexity? Or are they oversimplifying? Are they hiding the missing pieces? Real science embraces uncertainty and works within those limits.
So we should actually trust the science that admits what it doesn't know.
Exactly. It's a sign of rigor. And there's a more biological application too, right, in our own bodies. Think about modern health problems. Why do we crave sugar, fat, salt so intensely, even when we know it's bad for us?
Right, the things that lead to obesity, diabetes.
Wood's long-term perspective helps explain it. Those cravings were survival mechanisms. For millions of years, calories were scarce. Starvation was a constant threat. Grabbing high-energy food whenever possible was essential.
Our ancestors needed that drive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But now, we live in an environment of abundance, and that ancient programming is totally mismatched. It drives chronic disease.
So understanding the evolutionary history helps explain why just trying harder doesn't always work against those cravings. We're fighting deep history.
Precisely. It gives context to our modern struggles.
For me, the thing that really stood out in this deep dive, it was just how recently we became the only humans on Earth. For almost our entire history as Homo, there were others. Neanderthals, Denisovans, maybe others we haven't found yet. Being alone is the weird part, the exception. It really changes how you think about those other groups, not just extinct footnotes, but relatives we share the planet with.
That's a powerful point. And for me, the biggest takeaway is that reframing. Understanding isn't about memorizing species names on a timeline. It's about appreciating the process, the branching, the contingency, the role of adaptation and luck. Accepting the complexity, it makes you appreciate science itself more, I think, the ongoing discovery. And maybe a final thought to leave people with. Since our survival, Homo sapiens survival, was so contingent, so dependent on adapting to past environmental shifts and, frankly, luck, what decisions are we making today about our environment, about our technology? What contingent choices are we making now that might determine whether our twig on the bushy tree survives another 10,000 years or longer?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by ICATRA Foundation.